NATO says it's reviewing all ties with Russia.
The accident scene tells the story. There it is.
Chinese ambassador tweeting.
Overnight, it was a joyride.
Ukraine has seen a lot of changes in a short amount of...
What should I listen?
Confused about different news sources? CUC Radio English Weekly Focus will bring you selected and organized news from home and abroad, only on every Monday.
Good evening, welcome to Weekly Focus with news around China and the world. I'm Tian Jiahui.
And I'm Wei Rongguo. Today is Monday, the 31st of October, the 8th week of this term.
Here is the roundup of the latest news, coming up next 30 minutes.
Chen Meiwei, Chief Music Inspector of Sony, all about A&R and introduction of trainee reception plan.
We signed Su Yunying and Xu Jun for their unique sounds and promised them adequate support so they can follow their will in composition.
China's economy grew 6.7% in the third quarter of 2016 to reach 52.997 trillion yuan. That is about 7.87 trillion US dollars.
Based on the main indicators, China's economic growth has been steady in the first 9 months with some improvement, and it is better than our expectations.
Iraqi and Kurdish Peshmerga troops advancing towards the Mosul area with support from international forces are gearing up for a lengthy battle.
For more on developments in the country, we spoke earlier to our correspondent Stephanie Freed in the capital, Baghdad.
And comment on postgraduate qualifying examination.
The new grads are finding it really hard to land themselves a decent job. Therefore, the master's degree has become a better choice.
And this is Weekly Focus. Good evening. Welcome to Weekly Review.
First of all, let's check the campus news.
On October 18th, the chief music inspector of Sony Music came to number 48 teaching building in CUC to address a speech about A&R and his trainee recruitment plan. According to Chen Meiwei, A&R means artist and rapture. And hearing the fascinating story of his own, we may update our impression on those heroes behind the spotlight. Our correspondent Judy was there.
We all know that audience care more about the quality of music, while record companies have to consider the commercial part. It might be difficult to handle the balance between the two sides. Does Sony Music have the same problem? Does commercial part overweigh musical part in Sony Music?
Of course, and commercial waves more, I think. You can check the cast list of those companies to seek the answer to your question. As you can see, most of the singers in Sony Music are composers. For example, we signed Su Yunying and Xu Jun for their unique sounds and promised them adequate support so they can follow their will in composition. However, their sounds might not fit the needs of the audience very well. Then we need to adjust their creations and discuss with them time after time. That's how it works.
Only in recent years do people in China come to accept the concept of copyright fee of music. People argue a lot about whether it is necessary to do so. So what's your opinion towards music copyright fee?
It delights me to a great extent, of course, for although they are now low still, collecting those fees could increase the income of musicians and improve their quality of life and all the other things. I believe it will be better with each passing day, I truly do.
That's all the information I've got. Back to your studio.
Thank you, Judy. As Mr. Chen said, being a part of A&R needs to understand how market as well as music works, though it can be tough and tiring and frustrating for most of the time. You could be able to make superstars sing or act or dress in your own favor.
On October the 22nd, the Super Shining Star Running, so-called SSSR, took place in the South Playground of CUC. The campaign had a strong appeal to students of CUC as a mixture of sport and entertainment. Our correspondent Els was there.
The night running has also attracted many students from other schools. How do they feel about the activity?
I'm from Beijing International Studies University, and it's my first time to join such activities. I think I haven't joined myself to the full because the distance is not as long as I think. As for the night running, I like it very much. It can bring me much excitement. In the darkness, my facial expressions and other actions won't be seen by anyone else, so I can keep running in a very natural state. All in all, the whole atmosphere of the running is excellent.
During the running, a lot of sports enthusiasts have showed up to enjoy themselves. They have good suggestions for us participants on running.
I think the warm-up before the running is very important, especially when the weather is cooling down. Also, the night's temperature is much lower than day's, so it's necessary to do some warm-up rather than start running without any preparations. When you finish your running, you can do some stretch exercises to relax yourself, and in this way, you will avoid soreness in your muscles more easily.
That's all the information I've got. Back to you, studio.
Thank you, Els. I'm sure everyone must have enjoyed themselves very much in the running.For some students, this feast of music and running could be a fabulous beginning of a new healthy lifestyle. And that's just the meaning of such activities. So guys, don't bother to fulfill your daytime and run at night.
Okay, let's look at the domestic news. The GDP figure released by the National Bureau of Statistics on October 19th remained within the government's targeted range of between 6.5 and 7% for 2016. The growth rate remains unchanged from the previous two quarters. On a quarterly basis, the economy increased 1.8% from the second quarter. The growth fuels hopes that the Chinese government will achieve its GDP target.For the year.
那么从主要指标数据来看，在前三季度国民经济。
Based on the main indicators, China's economic growth has been steady in the first 9 months with some improvement, and it is better than our expectations.
He further explained that China's economy grew steadily with progress made and quality improved, as a result of appropriately expanded aggregate demand and supply side structural reform.Positive development, anticipation, and accelerated fostering of new drivers.
China's Shenzhou 11 successfully docked with the Tiangong 2 space lab. Jing Haipeng and Chen Dong, the two astronauts carried into space 2 days ago on aboard Shenzhou 11, have now entered Tiangong 2 and will conduct experiments for 30 days as part of China's longest ever crewed space mission.
They will conduct long-distance guidance and control for 5 times in preparation for the rendezvous and docking with China's space lab Tiangong 2. Tiangong 2 has been maneuvered into a near-circular orbit 393 kilometers from Earth.
Tiangong 2 will remain in orbit after the departure of Shenzhou 11, awaiting the arrival of the Tianzhou 1 space cargo ship next year.The space lab, along with its predecessor, Tiangong 1, is seen as a prototype for China's construction of a permanent space station, which is slated to be in full operation by around 2022.
Okay, let's look at the international news. ISIL, ISIL, took control of Iraq's second biggest city 2 years ago. The combined forces are now on a mission to take it back.From the terrorist group. The combined forces and U.S.-led aerostrikes are advancing towards Mosul from the east and south. It is pushing ISIL operative west, but they are not going without a fight.
Iraqi and Kurdish forces are closing in on the outskirts of Mosul on the first day of a major offensive to retake Islamic State's last major stronghold in Iraq. For more on developments in the country, we spoke earlier to our correspondent, Stephanie Freed, in the capital, Baghdad.
It is estimated that 5,000 to 7,000 ISIL fighters remained in Mosul. The commanders say that offensive to get them out could take weeks or months. Aid agencies warn that a mass exodus could present the world's biggest humanitarian crisis of this year. A lengthy battle lies ahead.
The Chinese government has donated $2 million to the World Food Program. WFP for its humanitarian work in Somalia, where a drought has deteriorated the food security situation. A ceremony was held in the Somali capital, Mogadishu, by the WFP Somalia on October the 18th to thank the Chinese government for the donation.
The Chinese government has donated $2 million to the World Food Program for its humanitarian work in Somalia as part of China's assistance to the Horn of African nation. The donation will go towards providing access to nutritious and curative food for malnourished children and mothers.
However, a deadly conflict between Somali troops and Al-Shabaab fighters was continuing on October the 18th, with at least 10 people dead in the latest battle, initiated by a suicidal bomb near a police station in Afgoye, about 30 kilometers northwest of the capital Mogadishu.
Okay, let's move on to the weekly news minute.Chinese President Xi Jinping and his Ukrainian counterpart Tabor Vazquez on Tuesday agreed to establish a strategic partnership based on respect, equality, and mutual benefit. China hopes both sides will strengthen integration of development strategy to upgrade economic and trade ties, said Xi. Echoing Xi's remarks, Vazquez said that the establishment of strategic partnership will begin a new chapter of Ukrainian-China ties.
China marks the 80th anniversary of the victory of the Long March on October the 21st, 2016. Xi Jinping hailed the Long March as a great expedition to seek ideal and faith, test truth, and break new ground. Its victory signifies the victory of the Chinese communists' ideal and faith, as well as orientation and path. He added that no matter which stage our undertaking has developed to, and how great the achievements we've made, we should carry forth the Long March spirit and advance in a new Long March.
Philippine President Rodrigo Duterte arrived in Beijing Tuesday evening, beginning his four-day visit to China. This is a historic visit and presents an opportunity for relations between China and Philippines to restart on fresh, more positive footing. China's arms are open and ready for friendship and cooperation, said Foreign Minister Wang Yi earlier on Tuesday.
Bob Dylan, regarded as the voice of the generation for his influential song from the 1960s onwards, has won 2016 Nobel Prize for Literature in a surprise decision that gave a singer-songwriter one of the world's most prestigious cultural awards. His songs, such as Blowing in the Wind and Masters of War, captured the spirit of rebellion, dissent, and independence.The impact of Typhoon Haima has been unguarded as it moves southward, but heavy rainfall is likely to hit eastern Taiwan on Thursday and Friday. There is a lowered possibility of a sea warning for Typhoon Haima, since it is moving southward and will not hit the island directly. The government warned of offshore waves along the island's coast and asked residents to take precautions accordingly.
Beijing issued a yellow alert for air pollution on Thursday afternoon amid the lingering smog covering the capital since Wednesday, which has seen the major air pollution reading increase by 10% in September. The air pollution will worsen and reach its peak on Friday at the severe pollution level and the second worst, and then alleviate on Saturday after rainfall hits the capital, the Capital Environment Protection Bureau said on Thursday.
So nice to meet you again. Let's go through some fresh sports news. The World Winter Sports Expo was held in Beijing from October the 19th to the 22nd, themed Opening the Future. The exposition fulfills the promise made to the International Olympic Committee when Beijing bid for the 2022 Winter Olympic Games. The expo features four sections, including winter sports, sports style, events and culture, and interaction experience.Experts regard the expo as an opportunity to develop the winter sports industry, which is still in its early stage in China. Beijing won the bid for the 2022 Winter Olympic Games in 2015, making it the first city to hold the both Summer and Winter Olympics. China aims to have 300 million people participating in winter sports by the time Beijing holds the Winter Olympic Games in 2022.China's Peng Shuai won the first Women's Tennis Association Tour title for his career on Sunday, beating Allison Risky of the U.S. to secure the Tianjin Open. Peng, listed as the 182nd in the world by the WTA, beat the 56th-ranked American in an hour and 45 minutes. At the semifinals earlier in the day, Risk knocked out world number 8 Svetlana Kuznetsova in a grueling encounter lasting 2.5 hours with the Russian two-time Grand Slam champion and second seed Peng 30 has defeated Donka Novinik to make it to the finals. China has hosted an increasing number of WTA tournaments as it seeks more clout in the game. The Chicago Bulls announced Monday that they have traded swingman Tony Snell to the Milwaukee Bucks for guard Michael Carter-Williams. "We are excited to add Michael to our roster," Bulls general manager Gar Foreman said in a statement. "He's a two-way player who adds versatility and depth to our backcourt rotation." Carter-Williams was drafted the 11th overall in the 2013 NBA draft by the Philadelphia 76ers, and he was named NBA Rookie of the Year in 2014. On February the 19th, 2015, he was traded to the Milwaukee Bucks in a three-team deal involving the Phoenix Suns. Carter-Williams averaged 11.5 points, 5.1 rebounds, and 5.2 assists per game last season with the Bucks. At the age of 23, China's Chen Ruolin has already become one of the most successful divers in history. And now, she wants to put an end to her glorious career. Chen, who has collected 5 Olympic gold medals in 3 Olympic Games, announced her retirement on her Weibo on Wednesday. "I'm sorry that I can't dive due to my neck injury," she said. "Diving gives me a lot. It makes me a better person." Chen, who was on the Chinese national diving team by her age of 11, has won every major title awarded in the synchronized 10-meter platform event since 2006. She made her Olympic debut at the age of 15 at the Beijing Games. 4 years later, she repeated the feat in London. But she has also went through some difficult days in recent years. After the London Olympic Games, Chen had been bothered with injuries and felt confused about her future. She even thought about retirement then. China Football Association CFA announced through their website on October the 22nd that Italian Marcello Lippi will be in charge of Chinese national football team. Lippi had 2 spells in charge of the Italian national team and helped them win the 2006 World Cup. He retired from coaching after winning a 3rd straight league title with Chinese side Guangzhou Evergrande in 2014. However, soccer experts and fans remained cool-headed and said they didn't expect the next coach to improve the level of the squad immediately. "The biggest problem for China's soccer is always expecting big change overnight, instead of developing the sport step by step," said Jin Zhiyang, a former coach of the national team. "It's unrealistic." Former China coach Gao Hongbo announced his resignation on October the 11th after a 0-2 World Cup qualifier defeat to Uzbekistan. The loss left China's chances of qualifying for the 2018 World Cup very slim, with China gaining only 1 point after 4 matches and dropping to the bottom of the group. That's all for sports. Let's move on to the entertainment.
Welcome to the weekly entertainment. Stick to the channel, and I will bring you the terrific show tonight. A man was rescued through the chimney after he tried to climb back into his houses when he found his key left inside. The 26-year-old was said to be grateful after he was pulled from the chimney by Tucson, Arizona firefighter. "Please scream and save us. We are stuck in the lift." His feet reached the floor of his house, but the chimney narrowed, so he was unable to get out at the bottom. He shouted and screamed for 4 hours before the neighbor finally alerted firefighters, who went to the university area of the city and pulled him back out onto the roof. Wildlife illustrator Jada Fitch, an avid bird watcher, has always enjoyed stopping to watch and photograph further visitors who happened to pass by her backyard, but he rarely ventured near enough to reveal her full beauty close-up. So Fitch decided to make little birdhouses that he could tape to her window, rather than leave them with a plain interior. However, she decided to make them a bit more inviting after putting the hand-painted houses in place. Fitch places some tasty seeds inside to entice the birds to drop by. She said the reception was a little cold at first, but the backyard visitors eventually accept the artist's hospitality, so she could capture their photos. Recently, an 85-year-old former boxer fought off a 21-year-old hoofed mugger when the latter tried to steal 20 pounds. Great-grandfather Ernie Herati has held up by Daniel Rose when he returned from his morning shopping trip in Stanley, County Durham. Rose demanded money from the pensioner, apparently believing he was an easy target. But Mr. Herati turned on his attacker and grabbed his wrist, leaving Rose with nothing more than two newspapers in a plastic bag. Former removal man Mr. Herati was talented amateur footballer and even tried out for Newcastle United in the 1950s. He was also a keen amateur boxer. These amazing pigs swim every day in the crystal clear water of Bahamas on their own tiny islands while they live in luxury. They show off their piggy paddle to visitors who flock to their beach to see the extraordinary sight of wild pigs making a splash in the beautiful Azure Sea. Their exploits have been captured on camera by photographer and ocean guide Jim Abernethy, 52, from Florida, who first stumbled across the feral creature a couple of years ago. As this collection of photographs shows, the pigs are remarkably well adapted to their beach lifestyle of flocking on the water and lazing on the sand. The rare Papuano melon measures just an over inch, about 3 centimeters from tip to tip, but has an identical external pattern and distinctive shape of traditional watermelons. The Papuano melon, less than a centimeter in diameter, more closely resembles the all Swiss variety of watermelon. It was discovered by Dutch food producers in South America who brought it to the Netherlands and cultivated it in greenhouses. Daisy the bulldog and Potty the rabbit are among pocky pets in people's dispensary for sick animals competitions to highlight the danger of animal obesity. The charity will put 17 pets through a 6-month diet and exercise program overseen by vets, leading to one being crowned a super slimmer. Daisy, from Middle Broth, weighed 28 kilograms, which is 50% heavier than she should be. She has already hit the treadmill in an attempt to shed the pounds. Achieve has created a chicken dish off the scale. It is so spicy that he claims it can cause facial paralysis. Muhammad Karim, 34, has to wear a gas mask whenever he prepares his drumsticks to stop the powerful vapor from knocking him out. His super hot meal register a whopping 12 million on a Scoville heat measurement scale, and is almost 3 times as powerful as pepper spray used by police. A very handsome waiter, the snoring girlfriend, and the sea being too blue are among some of the bizarre complaints made to hotel staff. According to the survey published on Monday, travel search engine Skyscanner quizzed 400 international hotel workers to draw up a list of the top 10 unusual grumble and diva-like demands. Other complaints include sheets being too white, ice cream being too cold, and bath being too big, and no steak on a vegetarian menu. One customer's ask for discount after his sleep was disturbed by his snoring girlfriend, while another asked for the refund as his dog and unhappy stay. Hello and welcome to today's commentary. This is commentator Tian Jiahui.
This is commentator Zhu Haoyuan. As the postgraduate entrance exam drawing near, an estimated 2 million candidates are likely to sit the exam this December, with a roughly 15% increase year on year, and we are going to have a lively talk on the phenomena brought by the exam. The official website for postgraduate enrollment has opened up for registration recently. Those who sign up for the exam must all be fidgety and preparing really hard. As for postgrads starting their first year, might think, yeah, been there and done that. Oh, and just for the record, Ellen is a postgrad herself, so she absolutely have a say in the matter, right, Ellen? Do you miss the rough time back then?
You mean, except that it's energy straining, brain-wracking, and most frustrating. I do miss it. Those days really gives me a lot of senses of fulfilling and achievement. However, it was also a nightmare for me, because I just spent long time and painstakingly days to prepare the examination. It's about 2 years ago. The idea of giving up had always crossed in my mind. I always thinking about giving up, and after thinking for a while, I finally realized that maybe worrying about it too much was only a waste of time. What I should do is to spare no efforts to do what wrote on my schedule and never care too much about the result. You know what? I really wanted to share my experience with you and all the audiences, which is that the secret to success is just to be easy and let yourself go. Don't push yourself too hard and never care too much about the result, and then you will find that you will be better than you expect.
Wow, I have to say you're just brilliant, perhaps resilient mostly. Since it's going to be some time before the deadline of signing up, we have nothing but an expected number of 2 million exam takers this year, and notably a record high of 1.8 million Chinese students set last year's postgraduate exam. Now that the employment competition in Chinese mainland is notoriously fierce, the new grads are finding it really hard to land themselves a decent job. Therefore, the master's degree has become a better choice, which could not only make them more competent, but also come off as a safe harbor against employment pressure. So,
what do you make of this situation?
It's a big question. What's the cause? Who's to blame? Is there something wrong with employers or employees like us? And I know it could be a compound of factors. First of all, China is a densely populated country. So after the tertiary education enrollment has expanded for the last decade, the value of bachelor's degree has somehow depreciated since many more people have been holding the degree. And another possible reason could be education system itself. Many students are not quite enthusiastic about their majors, let alone a clear prospect of future career. They are being neither pedantic nor practical. That means they would be less adequate in the market. And I think the fickleness of the post-90 generations could be another great change the society is seeing. You see, the staff turnover in many companies is increasing, and job hopping has become phenomenal. Even the slightest discontent could make many people quit their jobs in a heartbeat. I'm saying our generation is a little bit, intractable. This way, the market is getting more competitive, and many choose further their study, and the postgraduate entrance exam is also influential on many other matters. Let's hear it from Ellen.
Okay, because of urgent situation that they have to seize every minute to study, I am encountered with a situation very often in our library, which is occupying seats. As the registration had started, a new round of battle of seats in studying room is being staged on every campus in China. So the candidates for the 2017 National Postgraduate Entrance Examination use chairs and books, some of which are pasted with threatening words, to reserve a desk and seats at the studying room of the university in every province. Despite the regulation prohibiting it, the battle for seats is so fierce that even space on the ground in the studying room is marked off with paper slips.
Oh, I'm pretty sure that's annoying. She's the man who has done that too, huh? But I know it's a terrible thing to do.
You know, in English, there is an expression, first come, first served. That is also abbreviated FCFS. This stresses the need for orderliness. which also applies to college students searching for seats in the reading rooms of the library. However, in China, things are somehow complicated. Instead of occupying seats with their own persons, students tend to use books, backpacks, or other personal objects to stand for their legitimate ownership of the seat. To some extent, the emergence of such practice, now almost ubiquitous on all campuses, it's justified, and the seats for students to conduct self-study are limited, and university authorities should endeavor to increase such facilities to satisfy students' needs. At least the students' efforts to fight for seats indicates they are enthusiastic about their studies. Their academic initiatives should be duly recognized and encouraged. However, using personal belongings to occupy seats may just exacerbate scarcity of facilities. Some irresponsible students might never turn up, sometimes even for days. They waste the precious resources and damage the interests of other students who have real needs for study. Such behavior deserves unconditional criticism and condemnation.
Yeah, it's a big problem. Whether the problem could be solved hinges greatly on both the universities and students. The schools should be built more reading rooms to meet the students' need, while the students should not waste already scarce resources so that optimum allocation of resources can be realized and all students will be able to enjoy their studies.
When it comes to examination, here is another thing come to my mind, that is cheating in the exams. And according to the 9th Amendment to the Criminal Law that took effect on November 1st, cheating in national examinations such as the National College Entrance Examination and National Postgraduate Entrance Examination is criminal behavior, which can be result in the sentence of up to 7 years imprisonment if it is a serious violation. The examination held last year is the strictest postgraduate entrance examination ever. What's your idea about this?
I know the equity cannot be absolute, but it's the fundamental moral code we all should stick to. Such dishonesty not only would let standards slip, but also would knock out those who are eligible outside the place that they should be making contributions to. On the other hand, if the cheating could go without checking the exam, it means there are corruptions and loopholes in supervision system. And that responsibility should definitely fall under the jurisdiction of the government. And the country is absolutely trying hard to crack down on such violation. And it couldn't be achieved without the joint effort of all of us.
That's all for our today's program. This is Tian Jiahui.
This is Zhu Haoyuan.
See you next week.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, Tian Jiahui and Zhu Haoyuan. We'll offer you some living tips at the end of our program.
The weather is getting colder. Please pay attention to put on more clothes. Besides, today is Halloween, so may you have a happy time. These are the selecting news brought you by Weekly Focus. Thank you for being with us for the past half an hour.
Next week, Weekly Focus will continue to help you review and foresee from Weekly Focus.
Focus on China and the world. Only on Weekly Focus. I'm Tian Jiahui. See you.
And I'm Wei Rongguo. See you.
一个人的时候，听荔枝FM。